Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and in this segment alone, we have three of them, and the very first one up is Bob Haney from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. He's the co-host of Vinny Haney in the Midday, and they are the Baltimore Ravens, and they are headed to Dallas at 4:25 for a showdown with the Cowboys. But the Ravens are 0-2, and not all is good in Steve Buscemi's flock. I know it's not Steve Buscemi, but I can't think of the guy's last name off the top of my head. It's Steve Biscotti, that's right. I think it's Steve Biscotti. It sounds like the cookie. Bob Haney's even better. Bob, good morning.
What's up, fellas? And Steve Buscemi's a hell of an actor. I was a big fan of Boardwalk Empire.
Very, very good actor. Wonderful in Fargo, Big Lebowski, of course. Bob.
Con Air.
Is it panic time in the Charm City? Is that what you guys are called?
Yeah, Charm City. Everything's great. The Orioles are flatlining, trying not to make the playoffs. Ravens are 0-2. They are favored, believe it or not, by a point going to Dallas. But panic time, not yet. But 0-2 becomes 0-3 with Buffalo looming and then Cincinnati after that. And then things are really going to start to maybe get out of control. There's big-time panic with the offensive line. That was a concern the entire offseason. Into training camp, through the preseason, now two games in. Lamar's running for his life. They're not opening holes for Derrick Henry. Lamar got paid, so they had to sacrifice Zeitler and Moses and Simpson, going with the young guys, and it is not going well through two games for sure.
But so far, Lamar Jackson, in looking like, to me, looks fine. I mean, he's Lamar Jackson, maybe not two-time MVP fine when you're 0-2, but running for his life in that offensive line, how can they fix it? Normally you have a lot of faith in a Harbaugh team that over time they're going to be able to fix some of the personnel warts. Do your fans have that confidence right now?
No, not at all, to be honest with you. I'm going to paraphrase Rick Pitino from way back when he was with the Celtics. Jonathan Ogden's not walking through that door. Marshall Yanda's not walking through that door. So you have to make do with Roger Rosengarten, a rookie out of Minnesota. Andrew Voorhees is the starting left guard who missed all of last season out of USC with an injury. It's been a debacle at right guard with Daniel Falele. Patrick McCary's kind of their versatile six-man, if you will, who can literally play all five spots, but they prefer that it would be filling in, not in a regular capacity. There's no depth to replace, so this is going to be a season-long concern, and just players are just going to have to step up and perform better, or this could be a reason the Ravens have an unsuccessful 2024 campaign.
So fans don't think the Ravens are dead, do they?
No, not yet. I mean, you have a franchise quarterback. I mean, Henry, he had a good game on Sunday. Zay Flowers, Andrews, likely. I mean, they still have enough offensively to compete. Look, the pass rush has been much more stout than they anticipated it would be. thing is that Kyle Hamilton and Roquan Smith haven't played all that great in the first 2 weeks of the season. Brandon Stevens got cooked a little bit by Davante Adams on Sunday. But, there's still a lot left to prove. But, you know, it would certainly behoove them to win Sunday against Dallas.
So who are these nut jobs calling for John Harbaugh's job then, apparently?
There's a, 90% of the calls we've had the first 2 days are fire John Harbaugh. The other 10 are get rid of Brandon High.
You're kidding.
A lot of positivity flowing through the Charm City the last couple of days.
It looks like Justin Tucker is over the hill. There's about 20 kickers that are better than him right now. He's one of the only guys missing 50-yarders. What's happened to the once proud icon of the kicking game?
Well, he's, what, 1-for-7 in his last 8 attempts from beyond 50. The distance is there. The accuracy is not. I mean, he's still money from 49 in. Conspiracy theory is that Stout has replaced Sam Cook as the holder. This is the third year, by the way. And that the connection is just not what it should be. And it's not Justin Tucker's fault. It's the holder's fault, not the fact that he's 13 years in the league. Still really, really good. But Butker and Carlson, who we just saw here Sunday, there might not be 20 better kickers, but there are a few that have surpassed him, I would think, in
maybe,
the AFC.
He's maybe still good. Should stop. Yeah, maybe you should stop worrying about being the fourth tenor. Maybe it's finally caught up.
Ah, thoughts.
Or maybe all that Royal Farms chicken he's been housing the last few years is catching up to him.
I will tell you this, Bob. We were having problems with Cade York. Was that last year, Tone, in the preseason?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, gosh, it feels like it was 10 years ago. There were plenty of people, they just wanted to blame the holds. They were going after Corey Bohorquez, sending him mean tweets. And we have a punter. Wait a minute. He was a punter for the Ravens, too. Dave Zastadil. Dave is from here. He lives in the area. We had him on. He's like, no, it's not the holds. He's like, guys, look at the holds. No, the holds are fine. Turns out, wasn't the holds. Yeah, it was Cade York's fault at that time.
Unless it's like Ray Finkel laces out, I think it's all on the kicker, I would assume.
It seems that if that's the case, Justin Tucker has a very interesting future ahead. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore as the Ravens get set to take on the Dallas Cowboys, 4:25 on Sunday. And now we welcome in Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as they get to host the Washington Commanders Monday night at 8:15, and a new-look football team with Jaden Daniels as their quarterback. But the question is the health of Cincinnati's quarterback in Joe Burrow. How's Joe feeling right now, Mo?
I think he's got to be feeling better than he was a week ago at this time. You know, and if you watched the Patriots game and you watched the Kansas City game, I think you saw two entirely different quarterbacks. Joe wasn't perfect against the Chiefs, but you didn't watch him worrying about how comfortable he was, why he wasn't throwing the ball downfield, why he was throwing everything within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage. I'm sure he's not 100%. But he certainly looked like he was further along against Kansas City than he did when he played against the Patriots.
What can be done about the emotional roller coaster that is Ja'Marr Chase right now? Are fans frustrated with him over the penalty, which I guess didn't technically come back to haunt him, but just overall, he seems to be losing his grip over there.
Yeah, uncharacteristically so, right? I mean, Ja'Marr is a terrific player. He's a guy who will speak his mind. He's never been a player who did what he did on Sunday, where he lost his mind, cost the Bengals 15 yards, critical penalty in a critical situation. You're right, it really didn't come back to bite him. But, you know, if you understand what Ja'Marr went through from a business perspective this summer and whether you are on his side or not, obviously he didn't get what he was looking for, and then he's playing in a game that's a tight game. It's a great rivalry. He doesn't get his way, and he loses his mind. You know, was that merely him being upset at the official, or was that the culmination of weeks of frustration about other things? I don't know that the Bengals have a Ja'Marr Chase problem, but I do think that moving forward, you kind of, you know, you wonder if the seed has been planted for the type of player that we're going to be talking about being disruptive as the season unfolds. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and assume that he, you know, kind of came away from that game and looked at himself and said, dude, what am I doing? I've got to be more mature. I can't do that. I can't cost my team. But, you know, we'll see. That was very un-Jamar Chase-like on Sunday.
Is there panic in the Queen City about an 0-2 start?
I don't know if there's panic. I think, you know, two things. One, they were 0-2 each of the last 2 years and played themselves out of it. Also, their schedule in the coming weeks is very forgiving. The Commanders come here. Bengals are a 7.5-point favorite. They go to Carolina, where they have the turn to Andy Dalton. That's never a sentence you want to say if you're a fan of a team. Baltimore comes here. Cincinnati will be a slight favorite. I would argue the Ravens 0-2 is slightly more concerning than the Bengals 0-2. And then they go to New Jersey to play the Giants, who aren't very good. They should get T. Higgins back perhaps as soon as this week. And so I think fans are kind of defaulting to their history and the schedule and the fact that they did outplay the Kansas City Chiefs. That said, I think I said this to you guys a couple of weeks ago. If you keep starting 0-2, at some point you're going to start 0-3. And given how bad this team has been, it's time to run. Given how decimated they are at defensive tackle, I don't know that this Washington game is the gimme that a lot of people seem to think it might be.
Mo, is the AFC North overrated?
A little bit, yeah. You know, I mean, I think if you've watched the early results, it is sort of overrated. Last year it was a terrific division with all four teams having winning records. But, you know, the division hasn't gotten great quarterback play. The rosters are maybe not as good as we suspected. I think every team has a glaring hole. It's still a good division. It's a competitive division. It's a division with a lot of great rivalries. But is it as head and shoulders above and beyond everybody else as maybe we thought? No. I think the AFC East can make a claim for having the best division in football. Maybe there are one or two others. But, yeah, I think relative to how we talked about how great this division is, we talk about it like it's the SEC in college football, and it's nowhere close.
I could turn my mic on. Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as they get set to take on the Washington Commanders Monday night at 8:15. Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, as they get set to take on the Steelers, being they, get set to take on the L.A. Chargers at 1 p.m. Is it true a person called up your show and said that the Steelers could also be 2-0 with Kenny Pickett, and that Kenny Pickett would look just as good as Justin Fields? Is that true?
It is true. Some nice lady named Jan said that, and we tried to politely rebut her, but she was very insistent that Kenny Pickett was basically done dirty by the Steelers and that he could be a lot better if he were in Arthur Smith's system. That is all true, Ken. I'm horrified to say that that is true.
How do you guys keep pulling these wins out of your ass?
I don't know. It's like the magic of Mike Tomlin or the smoke and mirrors of Mike Tomlin? They played two horrible teams. Well, no. The Falcons game looks better. Their pass rush got to Cousins. Cousins, I don't think, had any idea what he was capable of physically at that point, and I think they took advantage of that. You saw them look a lot better against Philly. So I think the Steelers' defense heated up Cousins good. The Broncos stink. Can we all, I don't know, where do you and Tone come down on Sean Payton? Because I'm firmly in the camp now that guy was probably made by Drew Brees more than Belichick was even made by Tom Brady.
It's been a big show debate, Chris. We've had a huge debate over him over the years. I've always thought he is a innovative, revolutionary offensive mind, and I think he actually helped save the later years of Drew Brees when he couldn't throw the football down the field.
Man, I think he's a dingus, and he's going to be exposed as one because Bo Nix is like a third-round graded quarterback who he thinks is the best guy in the draft. But that's how they're 2-0. I mean, they've played two horrible football teams, and it's like right into what Tomlin wants to do. I'm not going to turn the ball over. My quarterback's going to make a couple of plays here and there, and I'm going to win the football game. But it's two ugly wins, and I think this is big boy football that they've got to deal with this coming week.
Yeah, but I think that it plays into your hands. I think you guys are going to run the football, and I think they're going to run the football. I like your defense.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I said it's big boy football because I think Harbaugh, despite being a grade-A weirdo, is a terrific coach at any level. It's just kind of proven in his record. He's a complete psycho who's drinking whole milk with spaghetti like he's 6 years old at the dinner table.
Oh, God.
I know, dude. It's so weird. It's such a childlike thing to do. But, it is a game that probably both of those guys think is just like the way football, you know, should be, right? You're lining up. The game will take 2 hours and 41 minutes because everyone's going to be running the ball. It does play into their hands, though. I mean, Harbaugh has succeeded in getting them off to a 2-0 start, but he's made Justin Herbert boring. It's like two mirror image teams, and I think the Steelers are probably just more versed in wanting to be that way as a team, so I think it probably does play into their hands. So we still aren't going to know if they're any good if they win this game.
After two games, do you feel that Justin Fields is exactly what you thought he was, better or worse?
I guess I would have to say better than I thought he was, because I thought Russ was the better choice. And what Fields hasn't done is make a backbreaking, horrifying turnover. They've had a couple major snap issues that they've gotten away with, some fumble luck, as the analytics community would say. But he hasn't put the ball in any real peril through the air. I think he's had one pass where a defender got his hands on it, and even against Denver, that was like a ball that was pretty tough to pick. He had a couple ridiculous plays wiped out via penalties, one in particular, but he's been better because he's taken better care of the ball. But, like, million-dollar question is, when it comes time, and it will come time, for them to need to open the offense up because either the defense gets banged up or somebody just gets up 10-13-0 on them, because it will happen. If he's still the quarterback, are they going to take the reins off and say, okay, go be you, go do your thing, and live with the potential consequence that he's going to turn the ball over? That's the million-dollar question here.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Is Broderick Jones a bust?
No, they've just butchered the handling of him. Want to know what this is a classic story of?
Butchered.
They played him out of position last year, even though when he played one game at left tackle, their intended position for him, he was good against the Ravens in week 5. As my child screams at me in the background.
Yeah, quiet your children.
And then they put him back on the bench after he played a good game against their arch rival Baltimore. Then they brought him back two games later and had him playing his off-tackle spot, the one he wasn't actually drafted to play. And now they've gotten mad. Here's the big thing. It seems that they got mad at him for coming into training camp this year, expecting to have the left tackle job handed to him. Whatever. That's a venial sin in football terms, in my opinion. They love Dan Moore because Dan Moore, a guy who basically his first rookie training camp didn't even look like he belonged in the NFL, battled and brawled his way to being their starting left tackle. And they are absolutely holding Jones's quote-unquote attitude against him. That's my opinion. And it's stupid because he is easily their highest-ceilinged offensive lineman, and they're just sitting around acting like he's a seventh-round swing tackle. Ooh. It's an embarrassment, and I put it mostly on Tomlin.
Strong words from a strong man, Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, part of the enormous trifecta that is around the AFC North. Bob Haney, Mo Egger, Chris Muller, one in Baltimore, one in Cincinnati, the other in Pittsburgh, all on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Did you see the Tennessee story before we get rolling into that? So according to a lot of apparently Tennessee fans are upset. I don't think they're going to be that upset very long because I think they're going to go to Oklahoma this weekend. And I'm sorry, Owen, I think they're going to bury the Sooners. They have not looked good in their first three games of the season there. I think Tennessee's offense is very, very good. Either way, the reason why it's a big story is that right now, the University of Tennessee has opened up their ticket prices for 2025. Their athletic director, Danny White, announced a decision to add a talent fee to season and single game tickets in order to help fund the proposed revenue sharing with the athletes. As part of the plan, I'm just looking at this from CBS, but everybody hasn't. Tennessee will add a 10% premium charge to tickets that will go directly to athletes starting in 2025. After the Volunteers reached 20 wins over the last 2 years, for the first time in decades, Tennessee football season tickets are projected to increase an additional 4.5%. So the question is raised, because if it works in Tennessee, which they're getting 105,000 people there, so I'm sure that there's some people going, absolutely not, and I'm sure there's some other people from every corner of Tennessee going, I'll buy their tickets, I'll go ahead and...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do it. All right. Do you think that this is a trickle-down effect to Ohio State? Will you pay more for already obscene ticket prices for Ohio State football, Tone?
No. No. And I'm somebody who doesn't donate to the school and doesn't ever feel the need.
Now, why don't you donate to the school?
To cough up another dollar. Well, until I get in the alumni magazine, it's not happening. Boy, I feel like Ken Carmen all of a sudden.
Wow.
I think this
What did I say? What the hell did I say?
Oh, in the past, I feel like you have gotten overlooked by your alma maters.
Well, I've never talked about it. You feel I've been overlooked?
I feel like you have.
I'm sorry.
I'm trying to rectify it as we speak.
Okay, well, please put in a good word for me.
Campaign yeah. for you, yes.
I think this is a terrible idea for a school like Tennessee. I mean, the first thing that this does, right? The first thing this does is it adds pressure, because it's one thing if you just have fans, the casual fan, right, that goes to the games, pays for parking, you know, buys merchandise, goes to the store, you know, brings back nostalgia every time they walk around campus. Like that's a good warm and fuzzy feeling, right? That you have, and that connection you have with your fan base and your supporters and your alumni. The minute you go above and beyond and say, we need more money from you, what does that do? Well, it obviously takes away some of those warm and fuzzies and now puts an added amount of pressure. Now, mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you have a bad stretch. Like, let's say you have a Florida State 0-3, right? Let's say you get off to a rough start. You lose to some teams you didn't think you would be losing to. I mean, what are the fans going to do? Now, the expectations have gone up because they're paying even more money and they're getting less in return. Now, what? They're gonna want their money back? Well, they know they can't get that. So what are they going to do? They're going to voice their displeasures other ways. And then if you feel like you're not getting your money's worth, you're never giving back. So I think it's a very, very dangerous road to go down.
I think it's a little scary on that end, but I also think that it's a hell of a way to incentivize things, is it not? Does this not help hold the feet to the fire on a lot of athletic directors out there to hire the right people, not have to fire the wrong people? Do you understand what I'm saying there? Like
Yeah.
Go ahead. What were
your assumption is that your assumption in the SEC, the Tennessee, doesn't already feel that heat?
Oh, I think they feel that heat regardless, but I do think this is another system of checks and balances. This will have, whether they are we've seen some terrible Tennessee teams in the past, my God, and we've seen some embarrassing Tennessee teams in the past. I've not seen bad Ohio State football since, the 6-6 year, and even some of those games were good, but I honestly haven't seen bad Ohio State football since the whole mess up after Jim Trussell and we were waiting the year for Urban Meyer. Other than that, it's been outstanding. So I think that that would pay off for Ohio State. A place like Tennessee, I think that that can go either way. I think that adds even more pressure to a place like Tennessee where you have some athletes there, but naturally you're in a tough position to win at the level that you've won before. Do you not agree with me on that? Like Ohio State, I think, is ripe for the picking to go, yeah, go ahead, add a 10% fee in there. I know it's more of a wine and cheese crowd than it's ever been, which a lot of hardcore Ohio State fans hate when I say that, but I think they feel it's true because they're the ones watching at home now, not in the stadium because the prices are, $300 just to get in to watch them play some of these MAC schools, for crying out loud, if you want a really good seat there. So I think that some folks are thinking, well, yeah, go ahead and throw another 10% on it if it's going to mean to keep our players here. Into an entice.
Well, see, this is where you always run the risk, right, of, rubbing your customers, your partners the wrong way. Like a school like Ohio State, now maybe think, Kenny, I sound right now naive, and eventually this is going to be normalized around college football, even at the biggest programs. But I think Ohio State doesn't need to do this right now. You saw how much money they raised already without needing to nickel and dime. And look, there are a number of events throughout the year. I've been to the golf outings. I've seen the amount of money raised for Ohio State athletics and the Buckeye cruises and the different events that they have that pour in the amount of money they have. If you go that extra step, there is no turning back. And your relationship with your fan base and your alumni, your supporters, your boosters, you don't ever want that to turn sour. And like the times have been good. You know, you've had really good football, but the entire thing is changing. You know, there are going to be seasons now when schedules ultimately change and you have your super conferences and you're not scheduling MAC teams and you're not scheduling Youngstown State. You know, you're going to end up with 3 losses, 4 losses. I don't care who you are. You're going to have down years.
You are.
This is forever going to change. And do you know what your fan base is going to do with that if they feel like they are on the hook even more than just your normal season tickets?
But I think they'll do it regardless because I think that this has happened. There's years where the wheels start to loosen and fall off at the end, and schools will tell you that they see the loss in donations towards the end of a football season if things aren't going the right way. I think that happens regardless. Let me tell you two things as well. Has it been over a year since you've been to the last golf outing or big fundraiser at Ohio State?
Yeah.
Has it been over a year?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I imagine since Izzy was born, you haven't been able to do a lot of that stuff. And I knew you did do a lot of that stuff. But let me ask you this, or let me bring this up into you. Over this last year when they got beat by Michigan and they got hammered in that fourth quarter in that run game, that was when they really started to hand out the coffee cans going, how much do you love Ohio State?
Yes.
And the blitz was on. So they already bring in a lot of money. They wanted even more money. And if they don't even have to do it, which is what you quoted there, they don't need to do it, why are we talking about naming rights for Ohio Stadium, for crying out loud, a few weeks ago? They don't have to do that either. Doesn't mean that they won't do it. You brought it up yourself.
Oh, it is happening.
So why wouldn't they throw an extra 10% fee on top of those tickets and say, you love Ohio State football. We love Ohio State football. You like competing with Georgia and Alabama and everybody else to win. We like to do it too. Show us how much you love it. Show us how much you enjoy Ohio State football.
Yeah, well, Ohio State, again, I don't think Ohio State's in the same predicament that some of these schools are. They've shown that they have no problem fundraising.
It's true, but they want to fundraise even more.
To what extent is there going to be? Do you think at some point there are going to be limitations once there's a new governing body? It won't be called the NCAA; it'll be called something different. But eventually, don't you think this is going towards down the road some sort of a salary cap, some sort of regulated money stream outside of just the normal Big Ten.
I think it is. What? My vision for it is eventually we will get to just the SEC and the Big Ten. They may keep those names for branding, but it's going to be those schools. And I think that some of those schools that are in those conferences are going to get kicked out. And that's how seriously that we are only going to take those teams very seriously. And then everybody else, they can go do their own thing. And then eventually, I think to protect each other, they will have a salary cap. But until then, it's the Wild West. And, Ross Bjork is charged with going out and raising all the funds he possibly can, making the smart choices to hire the people that he possibly can. So Ross Bjork, he doesn't have a timeline on when this could happen. This could happen in 3 years, more than likely not. This could happen in 20 years. Well, Ross Bjork's not going to be the I almost called him the general manager, the athletic director at Ohio State Athletics in 20 years. He has to do what he's charged with doing right now. So he has to go out there and do as much as he can. That's why, naming rights are there. They don't have to raise more money. But if they can, they will. Because once you get a taste of winning, why can't I just win some more? Why can't I make sure that a guy like Jonathan Smith stays for another year instead of goes off to the NFL draft? Or all of a sudden we have ourselves, which he'd probably go off the NFL draft anyway, so that's a bad example. Or making sure that some of the guys that are around him, maybe they stay. Maybe I make sure that they stay with a little added incentive. And why do I need to go out and hand the coffers when I have a revenue stream coming in where I can go, okay, he can have a little bit bigger of a piece of a pie. I think that this is only the beginning, Anthony. I think it's going everywhere. I think it's going to go to Ohio State. I think it's going to go to Michigan. I think at some of these places it will backfire. But I think at some of these places it's an incentive. And for an Ohio State fan, if you are a Bengals fan or a Steelers fan or a Browns fan, hate to say it, but it's like, I'm going to pay an extra 10% on my Buckeyes seats, and they're kicking ass. I know they're doing the right thing with my money. What are my professional teams giving me? I think it's a way to get into that revenue stream and take some of that money. I'm shocked. Lima and I can get into the weeds pretty easily on college football. That's why it's like, how much longer do we want? Full phones. 216-474-0092.
Finance.
It is gritty college football season ticket holder talk. I think it's a definite trial balloon. I hate overusing that term. I think it's office jargon. I think it's a trial balloon for all these other schools. Tennessee has been the Wild West at times. I mean, to the point of fast food bags full of cash with Jeremy Pruitt. And they are going, a 10% talent fee on top of the 2025 tickets. You guys want winners. We want winners. You got to pay them to come here. Because we've tried it every other way possible, and ever since Phil Fulmer, who probably had, there probably was some greasiness in there too, ever since Phil Fulmer, we have struggled to put any sort of consistent winner or a winner at all on the football field, and we have a stadium that holds 105,000 people. We got to get this done. Rocky Top 8 just going to get it done. Everybody likes the song. They can play it on their Spotify. We got to find a way to get these guys in. So they're saying a 10% talent fee on top of it is a direct way to pay the players. And you have their courts in Tennessee fighting the NCAA about it. You have the courts in Virginia fighting the NCAA about it. The NCAA doesn't have any teeth, so they're going to do it. And if you're Ross Bjork, you're watching this going, how many more season ticket holders on their waiting list are they going to have? Because this is definitely a revenue stream. 216-474-0092. Lyman disagrees. He says Ohio State doesn't need to do it. It's not that they need to do it. I'm just saying that they will. If they can make more money, they're going to make more money. Jeff and Medina, you're first up on the fan. Hello, Jeff.
You're just right there. If they can make more money, they're gonna. That's why I stopped watching college football years ago, because it's all turned into the money. Listen, people, I remember the NFL did PSLs, and people moan and complain about that and the cost of NFL ticket prices. But if you're paying $300 to go see a MAC team in Columbus, people pay it, though.
They will do it.
I don't get it. They pay it.
But you see, if I wanted to do it, like I Jeff, I understand. Like, I love college football, so I don't understand that part. Let me tell you this. I can look at it and go, hey, the NFL is there for my entertainment. If I want to turn Myles Garrett, if I want to have a shrine to Myles Garrett, I can have a shrine to Myles Garrett. If I want to say, you know what, he's just the defensive end for the Cleveland Browns and I only care if the Browns win, I can do that as well. It's supposed to be an entertainment business. I just haven't lied to myself about what major college football has been for quite a while. It's an entertainment business in its own right. And what it also does is it might help pay for some of those other opportunities, which I think are good opportunities that I do not watch on Saturdays, and I really don't watch on Big Ten Network during the week or anything like that. But I know it provides an opportunity, so I'll go ahead and I'll support him in doing it. And I think that Ohio State fans are looking to go, well, wait a minute, I can pour a bunch of money into the Browns, Bengals, or Colts, or Steelers, any of the teams that are in the surrounding area, and they ain't giving me any enjoyment. Ohio State's beating up everybody, and I have a chance at a national championship every year. I think that that's the type of market Ohio State's wanting to get into, Jeff.
Yep, that's why you have what? You mentioned the Buckeye Cruise and the golf outings, anything they can to pump money into that school. But how much of it is it going to the other programs? That's what I'd like to know.
Well, I think
we know football is a driver, but is it really going into those other programs at an equal percentage, percentage?
Well, it's never going to, and Jeff, thank you for the call. It's never going to be at a decent percentage. But Gene Smith would be, for as many criticisms as I had, Lima, you could speak to it better. I felt that he was rather open about what Ohio State football financed with, what, 35 other collegiate sports that they have?
Yeah, I mean, football and basketball supported 30 upwards in any given year, 37, 38, up to 38. You know, you add all the Olympic sports. There's a big question about whether or not that stuff is going to go by the wayside when they cut the players in directly, when they figure out the revenue sharing situation, as they're still waiting for more clarification from the courts. But I would ask you this, like, we're talking college. Like, what would be stopping Jimmy Haslam, who, by the way, famously Tennessee alum, right? What would stop, you know, at the professional level from these owners, especially, you know, they'll say, well, the TV deals are huge. Well, the TV deals are humongous for the Big Ten. What would stop the professional teams from just continuing to raise prices and saying, well, that's going to help up make us competitive? Like, wouldn't, of all the sports, baseball would be the one, right, where ownership would say, well, do you want better players? Do you want better players? I know to some extent they've said something like that, which was one of the biggest faux pas in the history of this town from an ownership standpoint about, you know, making sure that you spend the money, you know, so that we can get better players. But can you imagine if that was the case? Like, what's stopping all these owners from doing it?
I think that there is a supply and demand. Is that they try to, I think every sport, every professional franchise is going to try to reach a price point that is going to be affordable by their fans and not cost them fans, and try to maximize every single cent that they can.
But that's the thing. The shoe for these minor games, you know, that caller mentioned against a MAC team. I mean, you have seen more empty seats in the last 5 years than I've ever seen. I mean, you run the risk of taking that to another level for the non-premium games, especially when Ohio State's got so much more talent than so many of the teams they're playing against, even in the Big Ten. I mean, you just saw what Notre Dame did to Purdue. I mean, Ohio State against teams like Purdue, against teams like Northwestern going forward, against teams like Iowa. We talk about the haves and the have-nots. I mean, isn't that getting more and more pronounced anyway?
But I'll tell you this, though. I think you have a valid point. However, let me look at this. This weekend, a place like Michigan, which has over 100,000 people, obviously, in their stadium, and they've had some paltry sections at times. This is why they go out and get these teams in their conference. They're going to host USC. That stadium's going to be full, and the atmosphere is going to be through the roof. By the way, USC 7-point favorite coming up on Saturday. Their first, Michigan's first conference game last year was against Rutgers at home. I mean, that's why I think that some of these teams are going to get kicked out. Now, Rutgers might not because of the television deals, but like a place like Oklahoma, that's why they leave the Big 12. They can host Iowa State, and you know I love Iowa State, but you can host Iowa State and go get yourself a win, and you could have some empty sections, or you can just hold your team to a higher standard and bring in Tennessee and be in that conference where now you have that every single week where they don't have it before. I think that that's what they're doing. So instead of having to deal with, all right, we're going to bring in, like, yeah, you're going to have your East Carolinas and so-and-so, but instead of bringing them in or risking lower-tier conference schools, they're going to add those schools and have USC in, Ohio State and Oregon. Oregon's going to host Ohio State. That place is going to be full. Going to be absolutely full. No worry about no sellouts there. And so I think that that's why they're going to say, let's add an extra 10% to it. We're already making money. Let's see how much more we can make.
And the thing is, Ken, they could have done this at any time. I mean, there's been no explosion of ticket prices, you know, to some massive proportion. Like, I get what the caller was saying, that, you know, The prices are going to go up on everything as much as corporations can, and that's what this is. Essentially, it is a big fat corporation with a lot of money, and they always want to figure out a way to do more. But they also, I think, have been pretty careful not to alienate their fan base, because they know there can be a tipping point at any time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.